Psalm 42, verse 11. Ah, there it is. Yes. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who was the health of my countenance and my God. Think about this on this level. We are created in three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is what gives this earth suit our body's life. The soul is the mind, the thinking part of us. That's what the soul is. Has to do with our feelings and emotions and the things that are related to the mind, because before we're saved, the mind is always boss and the body just follows. Yep, that's a good idea. I'll do that. But from the believer's perspective, why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is the spirit man. You know, and we started out with that little Eeyore thing. That's where all that stuff starts. Negative. It starts with negative thinking. Thinking the worst of things. When actually, we can do something about that. And I know that if we go around touting the fact that we talk to ourselves sometimes, people will say, uh-huh, yeah, we got a place for people like you. Yeah, renewed life in Jesus, come on down and join us. The spirit man can speak to the mind and stop those thoughts before they become actions. Or get us into a funk in our thinking, which affects our walk. And it affects people around us. Because it's where our attitudes come from, is bad thinking, thinking on the wrong things. So why are you cast down, O my soul? And if you remember, Jesus has a lot, and the Word has a lot to do about our thought life. Casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the Word of God or the truth of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We can do something about that, but you have to speak to it. So what if people think we're crazy? What if? Who cares? If this is the answer, why not take advantage unless you've never had a bad day or never had bad thoughts or anything like that, and you just maybe seemed a little difficult to get out of it. But here is something, once again, we are so advantaged. It's one of our benefits of being Christians, as we can do something about that, because God has enabled us by the Spirit, for our spirit, the real you inside, to speak to the mind that doesn't want to come in line with the Word. It doesn't want to praise the Lord. It doesn't want to be here. It doesn't want to do any good things. It likes to wallow in the pity party, invite the same three friends, me, myself, and I. Go ahead and have a party. And make a day of it, or 2 days, or 3 days, or a week. Some people get in a funk and it gets worse than that. And why are you disquieted within me? Why have I lost my peace? Why am I agitated? Why am I irritated? Why is that hair being rubbed on the back of my neck the wrong way? Why do people just bug me? Why can't they just get out of my face and leave me alone? We can do something about that. And that's the hope of the Scripture, is the fact that it doesn't deny the fact that we can all, from time to time, maybe get into that kind of thinking. But I love the fact that not only is the issue there, but the answer is there in the very same verse. Hope in God. Put your hope in the Lord. Start thinking about all the times, or maybe even just one or two if your mind is so far set in the negative realm of things. But just, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and hope work together. Faith is the force that brings back into this world the things that originated in the spiritual realm first, and faith brings them into the natural realm. Things that you hope for. And think of all the times that the Lord was there in your time of need. When maybe nobody even knew what to say. Nobody knew what to do to help you. And you didn't want to share that with anybody because we're Christians and we don't want people talking badly about us. Oh, they're dealing with this, they're dealing with that. But this can gradually work towards being oppressed but also becoming depressed as well. And that can take a very dangerous turn in a person's life and grip them for years. So I like the fact that putting our hope in the Lord. But then there are some people who blame God for it. Well, God made me like that, so I guess I'll be depressed. Well, go join Eeyore. Fact is, you don't have to stay in it. And that's good news. For I shall yet praise him. Even when we don't feel like it. Even when it would be so contrary to what's going on inside. Why would I want to praise him? Look at the mess he gave me today. No, he didn't. He gave you the answer to the mess, but you looked at the mess instead, not realizing that along with it and in spite of it, he made provision that we don't have to stay in that. How can you tell people that you have the joy of the Lord? You know, sometimes you have to send an email to your face to remind it. Because he talks about our countenance, our appearance. Every Christian has a glow. See, we don't see that so much in each other because we all have it together. But the unsaved, they notice. I did a funeral this week and there were probably 100 people at the Davis Chapel. And it was all tears and crying and weeping and it was really hard to go into that atmosphere and wanting so much to just bust loose with Tigger. Because there are people that don't have that hope that we have. So I taught about the parable of the pearl of great price and how powerfully the Lord used that parable, because we always talk about we're his pearls of great price, but so are all of the unsaved, because Jesus already paid the same price for them as he did for us. But the Holy Spirit reminded me to talk about the marriage that had so suddenly ended because a husband died totally unexpected, just like that. And they had no place to turn to. Most of them don't go to church. Some lived out in the Southwest, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. Suddenly they were confronted with something that they had no control over. And there was a spirit of grieving and grief all through that room. It was very different than many services I've done, because a lot of times you absolutely know that the person is a believer. In this case, I don't really know. All I know is the man was a 30-year military veteran. And I know that the wife had raised the children on her own after her first husband died. And the other man, his wife died, and it was a long story of their lives. But then the Lord showed me that parable. Look at it from the marriage. Because we talked about how God considered whether it was worth the price that he would be willing to pay for a soul. And I related, after all, a lot of the people talked about this man's life, and it was very clear that even later in life, the two came together and got married, and they just had their 20th anniversary on December 19th. And suddenly he was gone. And I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, this parable is perfect for their marriage. You can't spend 30 years in the military and then another 12 years at Lockheed Martin making high-tech aircraft equipment for all of our military aircraft, and then find, if you will, find a wife late in years, and he was willing to give up everything in the past, his military career, all of his achievements, all of his war ribbons I saw hanging on his chest in the casket, all of those things suddenly meant nothing. They're just nothing. But he loved his wife with such a love that he was willing to give everything for her. And she, in a sense, became his pearl of great price. And it opened up a venue, if you will, to offer hope to people, to appreciate each other, to appreciate your husband, to appreciate your wife, to appreciate your children, and all the people that the Lord puts in your life. And the whole atmosphere of that room totally changed. They even invited me to come over to the Legion and have dinner with them afterwards. They did not take offense to the gospel, but done in a parable. And it was precious because everything changed. When God's word came forth, it changed the atmosphere. And it changed the way they were thinking. And that's why I really like the scripture, because the word of God changes the way we think. Because it's real easy to get in that mindset. And if you don't have the will to pick up the Bible and start reading it or listen to some songs of praise, it's easier just to kick back and stay in that and not resist and give into it and let it consume you, because it will. So here was a whole room full of people. Everything was turned around because suddenly they got their minds off of the death and the impossibility of going forward in their lives. And suddenly, hope came. This was an excellent week for me. I got involved in a lot of stuff this week. And since you didn't have some testimony time, consider this part of mine for the week. Tuesday night, another couple came to the Bible study. And we met them in the bowling alley. The family that I did the funeral for, Faith and I bowl with them as well at the bowling alley. And just being where hurting people are, if you're willing. There is so much that we have to offer. So don't be thinking that if you get troubled in your spirit that there's no way out, because there is. I will yet praise him for the health. He is the health of my countenance. Going back to Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it is, the Lord talks about his word being health to all those who hear it. His word brings healing. It's a lot of kinds of healing and different ways that people are healed and different situations they're healed from, which we may have time to go into that a little bit if I zip it now. Save the best for last. Gary, what you got? You got part two?
How much you share the part about what his wife said to you? The man that passed on. About coming here.
Oh, yes. Oftentimes, when any of us as ministers officiate a service, people are, I don't know, they're touched because they don't hear something that they would hear every day. And she said for years, they just live up here on the Sylvan Brook Road, probably less than 4 minutes from this building. And for 20 years, they went by here. And she said, oh, I always wanted to come to your church. And now my husband's gone. And I said, well, we're still here. And so now she's assigned one of her sons, whom I bowl with, the task of bringing her. So don't be surprised one of these mornings when Billy and Flo come to church. And it'll be a glorious day. It may seem very overwhelming the first time for someone who has said that. And then she said, the very first day I went to their house to start making these arrangements with them, because hardly anybody ever knows where to start when suddenly a calamity comes and you don't even know where to start. She said, I knew that God was a God of miracles, because I used to work with this lady almost 40 years back in SEPCO in Chester, of the same kind of stuff that GE does too. We polish turbine blades for jet engines. She ran the day shift and I was on the night shift. That's how long ago our lives go back, and yet I hardly ever saw them. But she said, you were such a hellion. That was her word. That's a Vermont word for troublemaker, raising hell all the time. That's all she knew me for. And she said, but now I know what you do. She said, I really believe in miracles now because of my life. So we got a plus. We can work with that. You know, see, your testimony is important. Your life is important. The old you, even though he's dead, people still remember. You know, and I'm thankful for situations like that, because we do have, just like the scripture, we have that which people have need of. And sometimes we just got to be more open to the lost and the hurting around us, because they don't want to be with us really until they get to know us. I mean, you know that now in Vermont. I can't speak for any other state, but I've noticed that spending time with people and getting to know them makes a big difference. And they come to realize maybe they don't share our faith values yet, but they come to know that, like Lorraine and the lights, you know, we're like those lights. They just pulsate with his life in us. We are the light of the world. Jesus said that. And we don't see it in each other so much, because we're all reflecting. Our countenances reflect that. But to the unsaved or the hurting, this is the answer. Is it huggy break time? One of the things that I appreciate so much about it is not only is it the fullness of the provision that God makes for our lives, but it's connected to verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. When we let Jesus truly be the Lord of our lives, it's always to him that we trust and believe, even for our daily needs, and extending out beyond that into our glorious futures. It doesn't change his plan for our lives. It doesn't change the things that he set in motion from before the foundation of the earth. In verse 6, I like too, he said, surely, of a truth, of a certainty, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When I think about that, I think of it on kind of like two levels. The first being, each day we see God's goodness and his mercy running after us. And you look over your left shoulder and you see goodness, and you look over your right shoulder and you see mercy, and trucking right along with us in our daily walk. But on another level, what do people see in our lives? What will people say when we're gone? What will they remember about us? Were we people that showed goodness and mercy everywhere we went? Will that be something that follows us as a legacy, as believers who trusted Jesus as our shepherd? Thought pondering sometimes those little short verses. But God is so good, and he's so good all the time. So many times we hear what People talk about his anger and his vengeance and his severity. And those were all true. And if it weren't for Jesus, none of us would have had a chance. But Jesus stood in our place, and he bore God's wrath. He bore his anger. He bore his vengeance in our place. That's goodness. That's mercy. So he's there in Psalm 23 as well, isn't he, all the way through? Thank you. I'm glad you shared that today.
So. 29, is it 11?
Yes. Amen.
And as Christians, we can stand on God's word.
Yes, we can. I think we should go to prayer now. It seems like this whole theme today has been about hope. It's been about restoration. Sometimes people's dreams and their hopes need to be restored because circumstances can kind of creep in and cloud that out. I want to pray for Peggy this morning, though she's still battling some attacks in her body. And last week I talked with her, and she would have liked to have come, but she wasn't feeling well enough to drive down from Woodstock to be with us. But it's right that we can pray, and our prayers will reach her. They'll reach heaven just as quickly. Father, we thank you. We thank you that indeed we have the joy of knowing already that when we ask you on behalf of someone else to bring healing and restoration of Peggy's body and her attitude, her mind, when people get worn down and worn out and need to be built back up, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is her comforter. He's her strengthener. He's her standby. He's her advocate. And we speak words of healing, wholeness, and wellness to her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We curse every germ, every virus, every bacteria that's attached itself to her body trying to cause her to be sickly. And we curse the fruit of that in the name of Jesus, and there'll be no more come of it. Every germ will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every virus will bow its knee to the name of Jesus, and there is no sickness or disease that can stand against his name ever and ever and ever. Jesus' name is above all names. It's above every name that is named, both in heaven and on earth. And Father, we thank you for healing Peggy and releasing her from the grips of the enemy and restoring her to full and excellent health and vibrancy. And will soon be joining with us again as we praise you and we worship you together today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Annie, if you need prayer, anybody want prayer today?